All right, so my brother has inspired me to kind of share this as sort of like a audio journal. I'm not going to hold back. All the things that I would normally censor or leave out, like things that maybe I'm not proud of for my past, or things that don't really seem, I guess, ethical or seem conventional or just seem weird. I'm just going to talk about them because honestly, life's too short. I'm just gonna tell it like it is. So for those of you who don't know me, I feel confident saying this now. I am an entrepreneur. So I never felt comfortable saying that before because I always thought that an entrepreneur is somebody who has made it, somebody who has figured out how to hack life and is doing what they want, is working like a motherfucker, really, who's working super hard and has made it and got it figured out. They've got some income from their business. They've made $1 million. Their revenue is $1 million a year, and they've finally got some sort of take home for themselves. But that's not what I think an entrepreneur is anymore. I've been at it for a really long time. At least for me, I feel like it's been a really long time. My mom will tell you I have been too. So I've been at this stuff since I was a kid, and what I think now an entrepreneur is, and the reason that I feel confident saying that I am one, it's somebody who tries to find unique opportunities and to exploit them, and who finds unique and creative opportunities, creative ways to make value where there was no value before, or to transfer value to to a new population that hasn't been able to gather, or harvest that value for themselves. Doesn't mean that they've actually made it or not made it. It just means that they've tried and they've failed multiple times and are still trying regardless of failure. And so that's definitely me. I have failed a ton. Before, I would think that I had to be super successful to call myself an entrepreneur, but you know what? I think I've earned it just because I've failed so much and I'm still at it. And it's not because I'm like determined or something. I am a pretty determined guy. I'm super competitive and I really always try to crush my goals. But I think that I've earned it just because, or I think that I am an entrepreneur because I really don't feel there's another way. Like if tomorrow, like the slate was wiped clean, I owed nothing, I had no opportunities, I would go and find something, I would go and create something and try to sell it. That's just me. I would find something that's underpriced and try to sell it. That's just who I am. And I've done that since I was a little kid. That's why I feel like I've finally come to terms with this is just me and this is how it's gonna be till I'm a freaking old man. I think it's in my blood. My grandpa's like 82 or something, and he's still at it, man. He's for sure an entrepreneur, and so he's a school teacher. He's actually a school principal now. He owns his own school. Being an entrepreneur, he left teaching for other institutions, and he built his own school with his freaking bare hands. That guy's hardcore. He got his wife and his kids to help him build his own school. And I think he sold that one, and then he built another one, and they actually lived inside of the school. I think they built it up like three stories, and they lived on the third story, and they taught in the first and second story. But anyway, now he's at it again. He's like 80 something, and he's trying to take his school, no, his home actually. He's taking his home and turning it into a condominium. That's his goal. He's got this whole master plan. So I feel like I'm like him. I'm gonna be 80 something years old and I'm gonna be putting my wife through hell because I got a crazy scheme that might bankrupt us, but that I'm super passionate about. So what I'd love to do is I'm just gonna share with you, I guess, a little bit from my childhood. I had a childhood like anybody else. I was born in Lima, Peru. Came over with my family. We went to Florida because that's like where all like Hispanic immigrants tend to go to when they come. Or I guess not Mexican immigrants, you come to California, but South American immigrants go to Florida. My parents did the whole immigrant thing. My mom was a housekeeper. My dad was he worked in construction, and I remember they would take me to go stack newspapers. So that was how my parents made money. They stacked newspapers, one on top of another, and like sheets of newspapers. And when they finally had enough sheets to make a bundle, they rubber banded it and set it aside, and that was a cent. That was 1 cent. So, you know, the more they can make, the better. And I remember they'd bring me with them, and sometimes I'd get pissed off and then knock over all their stacks, and then they would get all unbundled, and they'd get mad at me. But, you know, I was a kid, and they were just trying to make it, they're just trying to make it work. They're trying to make it happen for themselves. So they studied dentistry in Peru. And when they came to the States, their licenses were not valid, so they had to like take a bunch of exams. And so they did that while they took their exams. And that's always really stuck with me. Their struggle has always been like deep ingrained in me. Like, wow, my parents were really hard workers. My parents are really hard workers. And putting myself in their shoes, I don't know how old they were. They were probably like 20, 25. Being in a new country with this little shithead kid running around, they have to keep up with them. And not having really a means, just like working whatever jobs, working really, really hard jobs and trying to survive while they pass their exams. I feel spoiled because I mean, I hate working whatever jobs. I absolutely hate it. I like my time to be used. I like to use my brain. I'm sorry if I offend anybody, honestly. Like, this is my podcast, so. I like to be really super engaged in what I'm doing and try to be creative with what I'm doing. And I think my parents just found any job that they could just to make some cash. My dad used to work at Domino's Pizza. And I remember we would have pizza on Friday nights because he got to take home one free pizza a week. And so pizza is like my favorite thing, honestly. Pepperoni pizza, just plain pepperoni pizza is the freaking best. I love that. I forgot what I was saying. I think I was telling you about my parents. So yeah, my parents worked super hard. They finally got they finally passed their exams, and then we moved to California. And so actually what I was trying to tell you was that I've always had that deep within me. Like I compare myself to my parents. I compare my work ethic to my parents' work ethic. So I feel like they've done so much and they've worked so hard for me and for my siblings that their hardcore work ethic is always within me. So I'm always on the grind. And ever since I was a little kid, really, I'm gonna tell you a little bit about when I was a kid, and feel free to swipe away if you want. But this has nothing to do with what I'm currently doing. You know, it's nothing to do with dentistry, nothing to do with Implant Ninja. That's my little online business. Nothing to do with anything. Just me. If you, I don't even know who's going to be listening to this, but I'll tell you about me. And I think I'm stalling because it's semi-shameful. It's not like something that you would talk to somebody about. I wouldn't volunteer this information, but since, in the spirit of the podcast, in the spirit of full disclosure, I'm going to tell you about it. So I was a hardcore little kid. I've been trying to make a buck since I was like 10 years old. And I remember seeing on TV one time, I was watching the show Doug or something. I think it was Doug. And in that episode, Doug went to all his neighbors' houses, and he offered to wash their cars. And that's how he raised money for his concert. I forgot what, I think the band was called The Beats, right? Remember, I don't know if you guys watched Doug, but there's this band called The Beats, and they had a concert coming up, and Doug saved up money by washing cars. And so as soon as I saw that, turned off the TV, ran outside, knocked on all my neighbors' doors. And I told them I would wash their car for, I think it was 20 bucks, honestly. And most people said no. And I did have, actually, I think everybody said no, except for one guy in my court. I lived in this little court in Fremont, California, on Zacate Avenue. Really, really beautiful little neighborhood. Middle of the road. But anyway, this guy said yes. And I took his money. I said, I'll be right back. I went home and I got distracted. I think I got a bowl of cereal or something. And then an hour went by And then 2 hours went by, and I was like, should I still go back and wash this guy's car? I mean, like, now it's kind of awkward. And then a couple hours turned into the next day. And the next day I was like, should I still go? And then I never went back to wash his car. That's like so unethical, man. Oh my gosh. I know it doesn't seem that egregious, but to me, I've always been guilty. I've always felt guilty about that. And it's not that I didn't want to, it's just that I felt awkward. You know, it's my first time like in business, $20. Anyway, I also was super into buying things and selling them in the hopes that they would appreciate after a long time. So I remember Beanie Babies were a big thing back then. And there was like late night infomercials. I think actually it was probably before late night infomercials for Beanie Babies. But anyway, I thought Beanie Babies were going to appreciate. So I made my mom buy me a $30 frog. It was a freaking frog Beanie Baby. And I bought it and I waited. And I wanted it to appreciate. I wanted to sell that thing for $45. But it never went up. I guess I was thinking too short term. It never went up in price. And I'm gonna tell you something else I'm really ashamed about, but it's just because I'm trying not to censor myself. I'm not censoring myself at all. This is just my past. Nothing you can do about your past, right? It's freaking Hakuna Matata. Nothing you can do about your past. Just like embrace it and whatever. Build your story from there. So what I did was I had a friend in the neighborhood and his sister collected Beanie Babies. And she had a Beanie Baby that I thought was super rare. I stole it. Oh my gosh. That's like the worst thing. I stole her Beanie Baby. Okay. And then I wanted to resell it. But they noticed. And so I told them I didn't have it. But then I went back and I put it in their mailbox. And then my friend's like, yeah, I guess the Beanie Baby turned up after we asked you about it. We found it in our mailbox. Freaking unethical rat. During my childhood, come on, this is like when I was like 12. During my childhood, my boundaries of ethics were blurry. I had actually a lot of little things like that. I'll tell you about them. A lot of little things like that that made me learn ethics. But actually, that wasn't the beginning. That wasn't the end of my thievery. I remember that I used to go to I would steal things at the store. I'm coming across as quite a little shithead. a bad example, really. But anyway, yeah, I would go to the store. I was really into stealing things because I really liked to just like grab things off the shelves, put them in my pockets. I just like the whole adrenaline rush of it. I remember going with my dad to Home Depot. Man, this is probably when I was like 7 years old. We would go to Home Depot and I would steal a bunch of things from Home Depot. But one time I got caught. Oh my gosh, I was stealing a power drill. I literally had a full-size power drill under my shirt. And my dad's like, let me see what you got there. And then I showed him. And because I was so ashamed, it was huge. Oh my gosh. It's like, you know, you're just like, I was this little scrawny kid, had a huge power drill under my shirt. Anyway, he caught me, punished me, made me put it back. So I guess that's not a good setup, not a good premise for what was for things to come. Cause I did get into a lot more trouble when I was in high school. I'll tell you guys about that in the next episode, but, anyway, my childhood was pretty fun. I used to go out and play outdoors. I would climb trees, ride bikes. Had a pretty standard little more old school childhood. But ever since I was a kid, I've always been trying to find little things to exploit and to, I guess, and to turn into opportunity. And so I think it's really deep ingrained in me. But you know, I'm just gonna tell you right now, actually, what happened in high school. So. All right, don't judge me. So in high school, I was determined to start a business. That's when I started my business. I would steal things, okay? I'm still at it. I was still at it, okay? I don't steal things anymore, mind you. I learned my lessons in high school that people work hard for their things. People usually work hard for their things, and it's just not fair to steal things from them for your benefit. The only way that you should benefit is from your own hard work. Obvious to like 99% of the population, but to my, in my adolescence, that wasn't obvious to me. I thought that stealing was fun, and I thought it was adrenaline rush, and it was cool. Now I guess the way I put that into perspective is I imagined people stealing from my parents, and that'd be devastating. And people did steal from my parents. Oh my gosh, it pissed me off so much. And so once I realized that, I realized the rules of the game, I guess the rules of real success is not to steal from anybody. That's just cheating. The way that you can really succeed and really put your name on it and be proud of it is if you created something from scratch that had value. If you were able to create value out of thin air, that's the game. And that's, well, I've been playing that ever since then. But anyway, in high school, I would steal things. And I mean, the things that I stole were bigger and bigger in value. And so I would resell them. There was even a time when I was selling supplements. And so I would steal supplements and then resell them. And I would even, man, I was even so cavalier or so stupid as to put up on the chalkboard of different classrooms, I would put, "Do you want creatine? Ask Ivan." And so that was like my early form of marketing, which I think was totally ineffective because that sort of like interruption marketing doesn't work well. What you need is to find somebody who's already looking for something like that, and then find a way to get in front of them. I was really, really ineffective with my marketing because I was probably 99% of the people who read 99% of the people who read that were not looking for creatine, and that 1% was probably unlikely to buy from a shady chalkboard scribble anyhow. But anyway, now my marketing is a lot more sophisticated, but I'm still learning. I tried to not interrupt people on their path of going about their day. I try to find people who are already interested. For example, I'm selling implant education, so I give a lot of free content for implant education and, free videos, free PDF downloads. And once somebody's already interested, if they've already shown me that they like this stuff and they'd like to learn more, then they're able to reach out or to, swipe on one of my calls to action to actually like get the product, which is a lot more effective than chalkboard scribble. But anyway, yeah, I would sell supplements. What else did I do? Oh man. Okay. I'm going to tell you probably the thing that was the most shameful of my high school years. And I say most shameful because I feel like it put my parents through a lot of grief. I caused them a lot of grief anyway, because in high school I was pretty hard-headed and was really into making my business, and not all the kids are interested in I don't know how to say it. I guess I would create conflict with a lot of kids. I remember one kid snitched on me. One kid told on me, right? When you're in high school, you call him a snitch. So anyway, I stole things from the student store. So that was my other side business. I would go to the student store, steal a little balance bar. Yep, balance bars, right? So it's like a little caramel chocolatey bar. I would go steal a ton because those were the most expensive bars. Those were like $3 a bar. So I'd grab like 5 of them, put them in my pocket, and I would go sell them outside the student store. I think I would sell them for like 75 cents. I don't know if that was a good idea. Well, I mean, obviously stealing, it's not a good idea, but selling it for 75 cents, I don't know. I feel like I should have just kept them. I ate a lot of them too because they're protein balance bars, and I was really into bodybuilding back then and wrestling. So that was my thing. I was trying to become a college wrestler actually, because I thought that was really fun, and I wish I could still grapple actually, but I'm a dentist, so I don't want to injure myself, and I can't work. I know so many dentists who have like broken their like parts of their back or their necks or just gotten injured and they can't practice. Anyway, I digress. What happened was this guy snitched on me for stealing these bars, and I went back in and I was like, dude, why you gotta snitch on me like a bitch? And that's how I talked in high school. Come on. Anyway, and this guy said, you know, I'm not a bitch. And he came over and he pushed me, and I still had my backpack on. And then so I actually just start swinging at him because I had taken some boxing classes, and I used to go to these little things called fight night, and we would just fight. I guess that's what we did at fight night. I would bring gloves and we'd fight. Now, I'm a pretty small dude. I'm pretty short. I'm about 150, but I guess I'm pretty okay. I'm pretty scrappy, right? So anyway, this guy was like probably like 6'3". He's a big dude. He must have been like 230 pounds, something like that. So we start fighting, and I mean normally he would clobber somebody my size, but I was pretty scrappy, so I punched him in the face a couple times, and my mistake was I tried to do a double leg takedown on him, right? But I had my backpack on, gosh, and so like my backpack was like it like went over my head, and then like it interrupted my takedown. But anyhow, the fight got broken up, and of course I got kicked out. So I got kicked out of school, and then I had to go to school in a neighboring town. But what I was trying to tell you was that the most shameful thing that I did in high school, it might not be so shameful from today's perspective, but I attempted to start a marijuana business. It would actually be like pretty, what do you call it? Might call me a pioneer by today's standards, because these days, you know, everybody's got a marijuana business. I mean, everybody's hoping to have a marijuana business because it's so lucrative now that it's mostly legalized. But back then, you know, 2000 and when was that? 2001, 2002. I was an aspiring bud entrepreneur, and I bought some seeds. I think I bought like 5 seeds, and I went to my closet and I lined it with aluminum foil. I went to Home Depot. I got a low sodium light and I mounted it inside my closet. And I would water those things religiously, like before I went to school, after I got back. And I took a lot of joy in them growing. And I was like, yeah, this is going to be awesome. I'm going to harvest it. I'm going to have like this whole system. That system is what you would call, I mean, you would call that a drug dealer back then, which is, you know, super shady, whereas now you'd call him a weed entrepreneur. So funny how context changes the perception. But anyway, I grew those guys. They were like a foot and a half, and my parents were legitimately very worried about where I was going. And so my mom found my plants. She actually climbed on the RV that was parked. So my room was on a balcony. It was on the second story. I had a balcony, and I would lock my room. Super suspicious. Now I have a little girl. She's never locking her room. Or if she does, I'm having the key. Anyway, I locked my room. My mom parked the RV outside of my balcony. She climbed up on top of the RV and freaking climbed my balcony. Oh my gosh. I don't know how she... my mom's not like freaking triathlete, right? But she climbed my balcony, got into my room, and found my plants. And she's never seen a marijuana plant. And so she remembers that I had like a little belt buckle that had a marijuana leaf on it. And then so she matched them up and she found out, yep, those are marijuana plants. And guess what she did? She called the popo. She called the police. She called the sheriff. And when I got home, she's like, Ivan, I found your stash. We called the police and they're coming to set you straight. And they said, why don't you just take a second, collect yourself. They'll be here in 5 minutes. And so, yeah, that was super scary. I got my plants. I ripped them up. I flushed them down the toilet. And so when the police got there, there was nothing, right? So they got there. They're like, where's your plants? I was like, I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. I think I had watched too many mafia movies. I think I watched Goodfellas one too many times, and I was trying to keep my mouth shut, you know. But I'm happy to say, okay, so that's pretty much it, you know. After that, I'm not really ashamed of stuff. That was a huge learning experience for me. A learning experience that I never want to put my parents through something like that again. Ever since then, I never wanted to put them through anything like that again. My parents were so committed to helping me find the right way that they when I got kicked out of school, they put me to work. They said, you don't want to do good in school. You got to do construction. And so they had me do construction. When the sheriff came to my, when they found the weed in my house, they called the sheriff on me. So they were really committed to getting me on the straight and narrow. And I really, really, really appreciate them for that. Because, you know, it could have gone a totally different way. But anyhow, that's it. That's it, guys. This episode, I just wanted to tell you about, I guess, my upbringing, myself as a kid. I've always been looking for ways. Before cell phones, what did you do on the toilet? Kind of a weird question, but like, really, like, you're in the toilet dropping a deuce. What do? Right? You just sit there and you're lost in your thoughts. In high school, I used to bring a notepad with me and I used to try to figure out how many supplements I can sell to meet my monthly goal of whatever income that I was trying to make. And I thought of a lot of different, I've told you a few of them, but I thought of a lot of different shady ways to make money back in high school, because I think making money was the goal, but I didn't have, the right boundaries. Ever since the whole police incident, and shortly afterwards, I met my wife, or my future wife, right? I got kicked out and I went to school in a different city. And in that city, I met Teresa, or in that new school, I met Teresa, and so my parents set me straight most of the way. And then she finally just like, sealed the deal, right? Because she said, if you're going to do all these shady things, like, I don't want anything to do with you. She's a super stand-up person. And so anyway, ever since then, I've been on the straight and narrow, and I've set new boundaries for myself, obviously. And I decided that I want to succeed on my own merit. And so I looked for new ways in college. So there's ways in college that I looked to start my own business and make money. In dental school too, I really seriously almost flunked out. I had to go meet with the dean of academic affairs because he's like, Ivan, you're not doing well, and you're too focused on your side business. Because I had a side business when I was in dental school. I've always had side businesses, and kind of circling back to the beginning, I think that's what makes me an entrepreneur. Not that I've succeeded at any, but I've always, every freaking moment since I was like 10 years old, I've always had side businesses. And I've always been trying to quote unquote make it. But now I feel like my perception of make it, or my definition of making it, is different. Now, in order to make it, I want to be able to pay my bills. Sounds lame, but I want to be able to pay my monthly bills. And my monthly loan payment is $9,000. That's insane, right? That's my monthly student loan payment. I feel like the government, this freaking government and dental schools are like the biggest scheme of them all. But anyway, that's my monthly loan payment. So my definition of making it now is just paying my bills every month and having fun with what I do, like loving my work. So paying my bills, having fun. I'm just making this up on the spot. Paying my bills, having fun with what I'm doing, and legitimately creating value. So I guess the way that I think of it is, if somebody buys my thing, right? Somebody buys my thing for $500. I want them to feel like they would have paid $1,500 for it. After experiencing it, they'll be like, wow, that was amazing. That delivered three times the value of what it gave me. So I think if I approach it that way, I can never lose, right? Because you're creating value out of thin air, and the person who buys your product feels that that it's completely underpriced, and so they're going to want to buy more of your things, and they're going to tell their friends about you. And so that's my plan now. The reason that I'm going to end it right here, but I guess I'm just going to let you know the reason that I'm doing this right now is because it's an uncertain journey, right? So I don't have a stable income. I work in clinic. I work on my online business. Those are two income streams, or two revenue streams, but they're not really stable, right? My clinic was doing well for a while, but I decided to pull back and focus more on my online business. And at a certain point, I'm just got to leap into my online business to make it grow. I can't just like let it take baby steps. I got to lean hard into it. And what that means is I'm like slowing down my dental clinic quite a bit. And that's really scary. So I'm in kind of a scary situation right now because I'm taking the leap. I'm taking the leap and hoping that my online business will take off and will work out. And I've taken this leap many times, right? Since I was a kid. And it's like a cycle. You take the leap. In the past, it hasn't worked as well as I wanted to. You know, I've started so many businesses, and when I'd take that leap, it didn't work out as well as I wanted to. Time to circle back to the drawing board, take the leap again. It's a little bit better. So each time it's a little bit better, but it's always scary. So I want to start documenting because I would love to listen back on this later. If I am quote unquote successful with this, I would love to have my story documented. I'm not saying like on a documentary or something. I'm just saying that I would love to have like talked about this stuff and known my thoughts, my thought process. So a future me or another entrepreneur out there who's taking a similar leap can have something to relate to. I mean, it's scary. It's uncertain. I don't know. I literally do not know if I'll have enough money to pay my bills. I mean, I definitely could make some more money. I could work harder in clinic, but I really want my entrepreneurial business to succeed. And for that, I'm taking a big risk. So we'll see soon, right? So yeah, we'll see. All right, guys, I think that's a good place to stop it. Thank you for listening, if anybody listened at all. So far, I have zero listeners, but that's okay. This is for me too. So, alrighty. I'll hopefully I'll bring you good news. Bye-bye.